Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And for those of you who will be joining us in the interactive chat room, we have moved our time up from 9 o'clock till 8 o'clock just so Timmy and I can get a little bit extra sleep. Timmy, is that not right?
Hey, I need all the sleep I can get, Rich. I'm not getting any younger. And, yeah, you know, when you brought the idea up, I'm sort of surprised we hadn't looked at it prior to this, because at least for me, it's always a major panic in season trying to get my waiver wire pickups. And, you know, I recommend to everybody what they should be looking at, and then I don't have time to get my own in. So I think it's going to work out great.
Yeah, we might even start to move it up even further, Timmy, till we're doing it in the morning.
That might be a reach, I think. I don't know. If I don't cook breakfast in the morning on Sundays, it just wouldn't be the same around here. So breakfast Sunday mornings is sort of a sacred event. I'll let you negotiate that with Kathy, Rich, okay?
No, I'll pass, Timmy. I'll pass. So you're heading off to Arizona very soon, correct?
Yes, it is seemingly like that. Yes, yes.
So is your car fixed?
The car is fixed. We got to put some new tires on it. Apparently, the tires we have it on it right now, could use a little bit of extra rubber.
Oh dear! So is this potentially going to prohibit you from going?
No, I don't think it'll prohibit us from going, but. It's just trying to juggle work and getting everything done, and I've got some other things on my plate. I'm doing some work for our friends at Coach Manager. I'm doing some ranking for them, so I'm looking forward to that. And it's just starting to get to be a busy time, Rich.
Yeah. So, well, if you don't go, you don't go. But we are not on next Sunday. That was kind of what I was leading up to. I was hoping you'd be gone and. Of course, I'm going to be heading to the airport Sunday afternoon on my way to Asia, this time India only, Timmy, so I'll be gone all week. And so I will be, I don't know, 40,000 feet up in the air on Sunday evening. And I just figured with light stuff going on, we might as well just skip the Sunday.
Well, you know, I think it's a heck of an idea. If we do go right about now, we'll be rolling into Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken, and that's what the that's what the plans are. And, you know, after spending 10, 12 hours quality bonding time in the car, it's probably a good idea to pass on the show for next week, even though then toss in the fact that you're 40,000 feet up. That makes it challenging.
So that's where next Sunday, don't expect to show everybody. We will be we will not be doing it, and then we will get back, Timmy, probably with a World Series winner.
Yeah, unless, of course, they tie.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, Timmy, but we're going to get into some World Series talks, some playoff talks, and then, Timmy, we're going to do the first two rounds of the 2017 draft, probably the first people to do that. So I'm very, very excited about it. I don't know if you've been spending all afternoon prepping for it. I know I haven't, but maybe you have, but I am ready to go. I have my guys ranked. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I spent about an hour and a half, 2 hours going over some different combinations in between watching. I ended up watching a special on the Discovery Channel on the Japanese bullet trains. Fascinating stuff. So I sort of took a rather diverse approach to the day.
Well, there you go, Timmy. So it's gotten cold here. It was brutally cold today. I say brutally cold. It was in the, like, last night it got to the 40s, and the wind was howling today. It was cold, so I stayed in most of the day.
We call that warm up here, Rich.
Yeah, I know. But, Timmy, before we get started, I want to talk about our good friends out at Harry's and Harry's.com. Mm-hmm. Harry's, as we've been talking about over the last few weeks, is yet a razor company, Timmy. They produce these mm-hmm. wonderful razors. I've been using them now for, I think, going on 3 weeks, and I got to tell you, it's been terrific. Nice handle with it. It's a very nice close shave, so I've been very, very excited. I did travel to Orlando this week, Tim, and I forgot to take it, so I had to go back to the old one, the one you get at the drugstore. And I got to tell you, it wasn't as good. So I was glad when I got back to actually get the old Harry's razor out and go through the stubble and get that nice close shave.
Well, how do you spell relief? H-A-R-R-Y?
S.
I never said I was good at spelling. I must have been a Canadian spelling, Rich.
So I encourage everybody, go out to Harry's.com. Big razor companies have always made a small change. Come out with the newest version and raise their already high prices. Unlike those guys, Harry's doesn't believe in upcharging, which is why they've made their razors even better, and they keep prices exactly the same. So basically, it's $2 a blade at Harry's.com. $4 if you go to the drugstore to get a regular razor. And it looks like Dr. Mershak is out in the interactive chat room. I know he's already gotten his Harry, so pretty good stuff. They're German-made, Timmy, and they come in a nice little box. You get your shaving cream. You get the five razors and razor blades and a razor. And then you get this balm if you use our special code P361. That's P361. So go out to Harry's.com. That's Harry's.com. Enter the code P361. And Timmy, you get all this new trial set for free. All you have to do is pay shipping, which I think is, how much is shipping? Like $3 or something like that. So you do that and you get everything. So it is totally awesome. And what you do, Timmy, it's a subscription. So once you put in all your information, it says how often you shave, if you shave once a week, or if your wife is shaving her legs and, you know, she's doing that twice a week, three times a week, however often she does that, then the subscription works on that. So it's a really great thing. So you got the convenience, your cheaper price. And I got to tell you, Tim, the shaving experience is really good. So go out to Harry's.com, Harry's.com. And simply put in our code P361. All this stuff comes to you free. All you have to do is pay the $3 for the cost of shipping. The subscription starts, Timmy, and it's just a beautiful thing.
Well, and I have a question for you, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
What is Harry's policy on international customers? Because some of us don't live in the U.S. of A. Some of us live in Canada. We have listeners in Australia, in England, Europe, all across the world. Do they have an international policy, or is this a tough question, a trick question?
It's a trick question, Timmy. I do not know the answer, but I will find that out. And the next time we're on the air, I will tell everybody what the international policy is. Dr. Robert Mershak, a doctor, Tim, this is no slouch, doctor, says that he's tried Harry's and really likes it. Didn't think he would, but he likes it. So that's totally awesome. But anyway,
doctor approved.
It's doctor. That's right. Doctor approved. Put in P361 to get that trial set, and you get the balm, which actually the balm works really well. So, again, that's Harry's.com, Harry's.com. Timmy, let's get started. The first thing I want to do is make a special announcement. So, really, two announcements. The first, we've already mentioned we've moved our show to 8 o'clock. So, we've gone from 9 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and I think that's – it used to be at 10 o'clock. Timmy, remember when we first did that?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, yeah, I would get off the air, and I'd have to go to work in about 15 minutes, and you were probably already there driving. It was late, late when we first started.
And we put a lot of energy into this, Timmy. And you'd get off at like 11:30, maybe even 12 o'clock, at least East Coast time. And then you can't just immediately go to bed. So I was getting to sleep at 1:30, 2 o'clock. It was, it makes the week. You never get that hour back. And it's just, and the same thing was happening as we ran really late last week. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to move it up. So, Timmy, this is only for us is to move it up to 8 o'clock. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, and you know what? I think every once in a while it has to be about us, doesn't it, Rich? Like, why can't part of the me generation, right?
I think it is always about us. So that's what I'm thinking. And the second more exciting announcement, people have been waiting on this, and this is the only announcement invitation I'm going to make on this. And it is all about a new Dynasty League that I am starting up. And so the way these Dynasty Leagues work, Timmy, and you play in one of them, we have four of them going with the show. Two of them are now put into the wild. So I usually run these for 3 or 4 years, and then I move them out so that somebody else manages them and commissions them, and they're able to change the rules and do whatever we want. So DL1 is that way. Now DL4 is that way. The great Alan Servinus, Timmy, has taken over starting this year. So Lord knows only what's going to happen to the kind of crazy rules he might put in there. But the way I believe in Dynasty Leagues, Tim, they get going, they last forever, hopefully at least 10, 20 years. And then you turn them over to be run by the group and breathe new life into them. So this affords me, quite frankly, the opportunity to start up new leagues and continue the process. So that's what I'm doing.
That sounds absolutely awesome. And I am really looking forward to partaking in this new venture, Rich. As a matter of fact, I've even got myself an esteemed partner, a champion among champions, whose name will be released at a later date. But I'm looking forward to partnering up in this one and giving it a go.
So let me tell you what the rules are, guys. So first of all, it's a traditional 15-team roto league. So you'd be playing, it sounds like, with myself and the great Tim McLeod. So we're looking for 13 other players. And it is 23 starters, so two catcher league. The standard 10 categories, except we're putting in on-base percentage instead of batting average. That's the only mild twist to it. 7 bench spots, 3 DL spots, and 20 minor leaguers. It'll be obviously 50 players, and there'll be a 50-round slow draft, 8 hours between picks, and I will be your best friend because I will be texting you and emailing you telling you to pick, and it will be using CBS, and the draft starts sometime in the middle of February, whenever CBS opens up. And it takes about, 3 weeks, Timmy, those drafts usually take. So you have plenty of time to think about it, but you don't want to dilly-dally around. Otherwise, people get very, very annoyed. And then we play. That's the way it works.
Yeah, I would suggest to the person picking number 2, if it takes you 5 hours, you're not going to have many friends.
No, you're not, Timmy. But things happen. People have to sleep and whatnot. So it is an amazing 3 weeks. If you've never done a slow draft, it is an amazing 3 weeks because it is, you're totally into it. That's all you think about. You'll be trying to work and be trying to play with your kids, and all you're thinking about is your next pick. And it is a blast to do it that way. So the cost to get in is $50 a year, and there's $10 fee for CBS. I do ask for a 2-year commitment, so it's $120 VIG up front. That covers the cost of 2 years. And the way you get into this league, it's very simple, Tim. You don't have to do this because I already know you're crazy. But I want you all – crazy in a good way. You have to send me a paragraph, not 2 paragraphs, not 3 paragraphs, 1 paragraph, make it a reasonable paragraph, on why you want to be in the league. Now, telling me that you're a terrific player, that you've won many, many leagues, doesn't do it. There's people.
It worked for me, Rich. Like, come on.
There are so many people that listen to this show that are really good players. I don't care if you've never won a league. I'm looking for somebody who is insanely interested in fantasy baseball, that obviously does have some experience, that will never give up, that is always going to be active in the league, that likes to trade, likes to have player movement. you know, you're not looking for serial traders, but we're looking for somebody who's going to be highly engaged. So I want you to either tell me a story about how you've been highly engaged in other leagues, what you've done to win a league. We've had people, Timmy, Alan Servinus, wife was giving birth. He was in there drafting as she was going through labor. That's the kind of commitment we're looking for.
Oh, yeah, just somebody that commandeers a PTA meeting and gets them to vote on the next pick, something like that.
Exactly. Like if it's a slow draft and you have a dinner engagement to go to, Timmy, and you're two picks within, you know, two picks away, what do you do? Are you constantly going to the bathroom so you can look at your phone to see if your pick is up? That's what we're looking for. Is that a little element of crazy? Go ahead, Tim.
No, I was just going to say, if you change your appointment, okay, from the dining room at the Waldorf to drive through at McDonald's, okay, so you have access to your phone, you know, something like that, right?
Exactly. That's what we're looking for. So obviously, if you're involved in our Facebook community, that's a big plus. So we're looking, because that shows engagement in the community and what we're doing. Clearly, reading my site helps. You know, all of those kinds of things help. The only thing that doesn't help is to brag and tell me how great of a player you are. I don't care, right? So, in fact, the worse the player is, the better it is for Tim and I to potentially win. And I never win these leagues. Tim does. I never win them. But trust me, these are great leagues. They're very well run. There's no monkey business going on. I am a very benevolent commissioner, I think. I give people a lot of leeway because I know there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm always modifying lineups that get illegal, and I do all of that, and I usually, sometimes I get testy, but most of the time I do it because that's just the role of the commissioner. So if you're looking for a nice, safe league with really good players and people that are really into it, it's a league for you. So prospect361@gmail.com, prospect361@gmail.com. One paragraph, please. I will not respond back to you on the paragraph. I will tell everybody somehow within 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, who is in the league. And then there's going to be, the rules will go out, everybody. You'll get to see it. If you decide, that's not for you, totally get it. If you want to see the rules ahead of time, I'm happy to send those out. Just tell me, can you send me a copy of the rules? We'll do that as well. There will be lots of people, potentially hundreds of people who try to get into this league. I'm going to try to pick the best players for the league. And if you don't get in, there'll be other opportunities. Because, Timmy, I think next season I'm going to have a couple of redraft leagues as well. I know I took off last year because of all the move, but I'm going to have a couple of redraft leagues. So there'll be other opportunities to play with myself and or the great Tim McLeod.
That sounds absolutely awesome. And you know what? When you start looking at, you know, like you said, bragging about your conquests in the fantasy world, well, you can throw a lot of those out of the window, because I know from past experience the caliber of player that you're going to get to play in this league will humble anyone, Rich, including yours truly.
It does, Timmy. I mean, we played in these leagues. They're harder. They're really good players. I mean, how do you say his name, Tim?
Yoram Batner.
Yoram Batner plays in our league. He won the NFBC Slow Draft Championship. I think he won $45,000. Dr. Robert Mershak is a tremendous player. Allen's a really good player. These are really, really good players. So you think you're really good. And then also these guys will humble you very, very quickly. And then you get into a cat fight with Tim McLeod. Tim, they might as well give up. I mean, you get in a cat fight with Tim going for first place or going for third place, give up, because he's going to beat you. So,
well,
but you will have fun.
Unless your name's Scott Gilroy, and he returned the favor and beat me this year in DL2. Another great player I have is Scott. So, you know, the leagues are full of very, very good players.
Yeah, and it's fun. So, again, prospect361@gmail.com. Again, $120 to get in. If you are a struggling student, you have no money, just don't apply, because I hate running down people. That's the only time I've actually kicked people out of the league, Timmy, is trying to run down money. I mean, it's just it's too hard. So, but
well,
you,
not
you get
only
it,
is it too hard, but you're not. It's not a big money league. If you're into playing for big money, go join the NFBC. That's where it's at. This is there is a lot more to these leagues. Like if you're money motivated, find another place to hang out, because, to be honest with you, these aren't money-motivated leagues. They're fun leagues, and they are incredibly well-run. I have one quick question for you. With the saves category, are you going with a modified saves hold, or are you just using saves, Rich?
Tim, you decide. What do you want to do? Saves and holds, or just saves?
I am huge on the bullpen component, and being that Cleveland now has three closers or four or something like that, I have a feeling that our game is going to change even more in the next couple of years. Could we do saves and holds at 0.5 so that saves
yes.
are valued more, but holds are still there's still some value in a hold?
We will do that, Timmy. That's the way DL2 runs. So we'll do on-base percentage and saves and hold instead of the saves category. So
thanks.
I do want to go back very quickly, though, to the financial aspect. Look, if you're on tough times and you love the game, you can't come up with the money, still send the application. Just drop me a note that, hey, things might be a little tight. Don't worry about it. We'll figure out how to make that work. So, because I'd rather you be in the league if you really want to play and just things are tight or whatever, just let me know that. And I can't do that for everybody, Tim, but let me know that and we'll figure something out. So I want to obviously throw that one out there as well. But if you're a struggling college student with a rich parent, forget about it.
So, ask for a loan. Add it to the current debt load, right?
Exactly. Okay, Timmy, let's get into the show. Let's again, we've got two primary things. We're talking playoffs, and we are talking doing this draft. So I want to quickly just kind of go through the playoffs. We are now down to the Chicago Cubs and the Cleveland Indians. And, Timmy, I'm shocked that the Indians are in there, not shocked that the Cubs are in there. But what an awesome World Series. I mean, these are two quote-unquote loser franchises. I mean that the nicest way possible. But these are franchises that have really struggled over the last 50 years to win the big one. And one of them is going to do it this year.
Well, yeah, what do we got, 08 and 48? That's a long way back. You know, the last time Cleveland won, I was still waiting to be born by about 10 years. So it is a really long time. And you know what? I am very, very happy for the fans of both organizations. It's been too long. And, hey, you know what? At the end of the day, one of those streaks is going to be gone forever.
So let's just cut to the chase, Timmy. Which streak is going to be broken? Now, on paper, it would look like the Cubs is going to be over quickly. It's a really good offensive team. They've got some really good pitching. The Indians have Corey Kluber and nothing else for a starting pitcher, but I think they were underdogs to the Red Sox and underdogs to the Toronto Blue Jays, two very, very good offensive teams. And Toronto had some pretty good pitching, and they pretty much manhandled both of those. So while on paper it looks like it's the Cubs, I don't know. So, Timmy, what say you? Who wins and how many games?
I'm going to go with Tito and the bullpen. And Cleveland.
Wow.
Cleveland in seven. It's going to go the full 9 yards, and Allen is going to have the game on the line in the bottom or the top of the ninth. In the ninth inning, the game will be on the line with Allen pulling off the save.
It is amazing what Cleveland has done with that bullpen. And Andrew Miller, I know they gave up a lot. They gave up Clint Frazier. And who else did he give up? Justice Sheffield.
Yeah.
And they gave up somebody else, and I can't remember who it is at the top of the head, but top of them. But boy, I mean, if this just bringing a World Series, Tim, it's paid for it. So Andrew Miller has been the difference maker. He is was the ALCS MVP, and I think well deserved.
Well, yeah, and you know what? I take my hat off to the Cleveland Indians. There was a window there. They saw it. Hey, it cost them some future, but right now, the future is now for the Cleveland Indians, and I like what they've done. I think more teams in baseball should take that approach. You know, hey, prospects are great, and those playing in dynasty leagues know all about prospects, but when you've got the opportunity to win right now, you got to go for it. And the Indians did it.
I've got the Cubs, Tim.
Okay.
Part of it is just I want the Cubs to win. I lived in Chicago for 7 years. I know a lot of friends there. And, Timmy, they are the Bartman thing, the whole thing. And I know that the Indians have similar stories, and, you know, it's still been a ridiculous amount of time. But I am rooting for the Cubs. I do think they have the better team. They don't have a bad bullpen either. So, you know, it is going to be interesting. But I do think in the end those bats, if Ryan Merritt can keep down Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and et al., I mean, they deserve to win. That is a really, really good offensive team of the Cubs. And I just think they're going to win in 5 games, Tim.
5 games? You're expecting dominance. Hey, and you know what? Nothing would surprise me. I just hope that it's a good, solid series, played well by two very, very good teams. And at the end of the day, may the best team win.
Was it me, Timmy, or was the Indians beating the Blue Jays as handily as they did? And Ryan Merritt, 4 1/3 innings. I mean, who the hell is Ryan Merritt, Timmy? I mean, nobody's even heard of this guy, and he's simply 2 hits over 4 1/3 innings. I mean, that was impressive.
Well, I think Jose Bautista's heard of him now, right?
I know. Jose Bautista, Timmy, I thought, and I wrote down in the notes, I thought that team, the Blue Jays, all of a sudden looked old. All just like overnight, they just aged like 10 years. And Tulowitzki looks old. Bautista looks old. Even E5 looks old. And I know that's probably not fair. They are older. But, man, they were just stymied by that team.
Well, you know, I think it's a case, Rich, of you live by the sword and you die by the sword. And the Blue Jays live by the long ball. And when the long ball isn't there, well, you got problems. And I think there's going to be change in Toronto, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. I like the Jays moving forward, and I think they can survive without the two big bats that they probably won't have next year. But you look at their pitching, and you know they got Happ for I believe another 2 years. They've got Estrada for another year. They've got Sanchez and Stroman tied up for another 4, along with Osuna. Who knows what Lariano can give them in a 5th starting role, but the Blue Jays pitching is going to be strong, and I still think that, you know, they've got enough offense, so it's going to be a very interesting offseason in Toronto.
Yeah, I think you're right, Timmy, and you know, their minor league system's not awful. In fact, I just finished them up, and I still like Rowdy Tellez. Nobody else likes Rowdy, but guy hit 23 home runs, so 4th most in the Eastern League. He's a big boy, but he can hit, and he's got some power. It's only in Double-A, but I wouldn't be surprised sometime next year he is manning first base. And, you know, he's not going to hit 40 like E5 can hit, but I think he can hit 30, and I think he'll fill in just nice, be a nice cost-controlled guy. And maybe they can bring in a little bit more speed, and maybe Dalton Pompey, to maybe, just maybe, I think he'd fit in very, very nicely in that offense.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with little ball. You know, you don't have to hit the ball 400 feet every time you're at bat to win games. And maybe getting some players in there that can develop a little bit better contact skills might help them. And I agree on Tellez. As a matter of fact, I was so bullish on him in DL2 last year, I traded Odorizzi for Tellez and Eric Fetty.
Eric Fetty's a nice pull, Tim. That guy's going to be very, very good. Kid who had Tommy John surgery when he was drafted. He's now, you're going to read my write-up on him, he's hitting the mid-90s. He's a really nice pitcher. That's a good pull. And Tellez, I mean, nobody likes him, I think, but me and you, Timmy. But I'll take a guy that hit 23 home runs in the Eastern League last year who doesn't play for Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a bandbox, so that's why Dylan Cousins and the other guy, I can't think of it off the top of my head. That's why they hit 40 home runs. But most people who have big power are going to hit mid-20s, and that's exactly what Rowdy Tellez did. So Dynasty League guys or people in redraft leagues, just remember that name. I think he might be better than people think.
I totally agree, and I think we could see him at mid-season. And like I said, we might be the only two bullish people on the kid. He's only 22, and he's shown power already. So, hey, I'm happy with that trade long-term.
It, He's a big boy. He's a big boy. I will say that. So Tulowitzki, Timmy, looked bad to me. I know he hit 24 home runs, but the speed is not there. Tell me, I mean, where do you draft Tulowitzki next year? I know I picked him up in the NFBC in the top of one of the first picks in the fourth round, or maybe say one, two back. No, the end of the fourth round is where I picked him up. Is that where he goes again this year, or with all the young shortstops that are out there in Lindor and Corey Seager? I mean, is he a guy that's just going to drop?
I think he's going to fall into probably the seventh, eighth round. That would be my guess. There's a lot of talent at shortstop and a lot of really good talent. And I don't see any need to rush to grab Tulowitzki. At least that's my early thoughts anyways, Rich. And, you know, time will tell as we start getting into mock drafting. But he's the sort of guy, if he falls far enough, it'll generate interest. But I'm not going to go out of my way to look at him. How's that?
Yeah, the hit tool was down this year. The batting average is not what it's been. I mean, he's clearly – I mean, he moved from Colorado, which is a really big ballpark, to, you know, a place that allows home runs. But I think what we've seen is his batting average took a hit. And to me, that's what moves him down a lot, Timmy. I mean, the speed has been gone for a couple of years. Now he's older. There's better competition at shortstop. And now – I mean, 24 home runs, a nice player, Timmy, but a lot of people hit 24 home runs.
Yeah, I think about 115 hit 20 plus. That doesn't put him at the top of the curve, Rich. Not definitely.
I think I'd rather have a guy that can steal some bases playing shortstop. And I think as we get into the draft, our draft coming up, there's a guy, Timmy, a first baseman that stole 32 bases, which we got to talk about this, because this is a guy that you might think about in the top three picks. In fact, I'm probably going to take him in the top three picks, and we're going to get into that, because stolen bases are not at a premium. They're about the same as they were last year. But when you compare them to power, Tim, all of a sudden it is premium.
Well, yeah, it's all about the relationship between, you know, the home run and the stolen base and where you go about getting them. And, you know, hey, you start taking the top three, four, five stolen base guys out early, and then all of a sudden, you're looking at a lot of guys that are going to steal 15 to 20. I don't know. I sort of like the idea of grabbing a guy that's got 40-plus potential reasonably early.
I agree. And you, one of the places you like stolen bases, I think it's at shortstop, and you go with Tulowitzki, he's not going to give you any. So that's why I think it's a bummer. As opposed to Francisco Lindor, and this is a guy that just turns 23 next year. He played very well. In fact, I think he was really the only guy that hit on the Indians, 368. My question for you is, does he have 20-20 upside next year? I know it was about 16 or 17 stolen bases, 13 home runs, something like that this year. But does he have 20-20 upside?
I think if you're looking at ceilings, yeah, the power would be the factor that would concern me. I think he's going to get the 20 stolen bases, but looking at planning ahead to next year, if I'm looking at him right now, I'm looking at 15 home runs, 22, 23 stolen bases with a great, great batting average. And there won't be any huge category dominant traits in his game, but there'll be nice balance right across the line. Nothing that's going to hurt you anywhere, I don't think.
I'm looking at last year, 2016, 15 home runs, 19 stolen bases. So in a 301 batting average. So, you know, it's an 85% contact rate. So, I mean, the skills are there. And, you know, a guy who's just turning 23, you think that power is going to tick up. I think there's a good chance he goes 20-20.
Yeah, I certainly won't rule it out. I'm just going to take the conservative route. And anything over and above that, we'll call it gravy. How's that?
Bautista has been a perennial number one or round two pick. Tim, where does he go?
Oh, somewhere in rounds four or five.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna. I think I'm tapping out, Timmy. I unless he goes back to the Orioles, you know, Baltimore, you know, maybe Chicago White Sox. I mean, someplace where I know that there's going to be power there. But if he goes somewhere where it's a big ballpark, to me, I'm tapping out, man.
Yeah, me too. I actually did this year. I didn't own him anywhere. I stayed right away from him, and because I sensed a decline coming. And you know, granted he was hurt a fair bit. But one of the problems with Jose Bautista is I think he's going to have to realize that his best days as an outfielder are way behind him. And I think moving forward, you're looking at a DH-type player. And when do you want to start investing in DHs? I said, I think he'll qualify next year at outfield, but I wouldn't bet on it for 2018.
I think that's a fair point, Timmy, and which might cut his free agency opportunities in half because, I mean, would a National League team really pick up on him, or is he truly now an American League guy?
Well, you know, when I look at the way he runs routes, I think he's limiting himself to one league in the not-so-distant future.
Well, could they put a first baseman mitt on him?
Yeah, I guess they could. Yeah, they could put a first baseman mitt on him, but again, a lot of that will depend on Jose Bautista, and right now I sort of think he's writing some checks that maybe his body can't cash. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, Timmy, he's not young anymore. What is he? Bautista. I've got every player here. All I have to do is type it in.
I'd say heading into 37.
It says 35 this year, so I think next year he'll be 36. I mean, Timmy, 36. Unless he's on roids. I mean, this is a guy that should be well on the backside of his career, and you know, he's never made a lot of money from a baseball standpoint. I know he's trying to have a big four-year contract, and I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I'd have trouble giving him 4 years at 25 or 5 years at 25, whatever he wanted, heading into spring training. He might have to settle for he might have to pull a Mark Trumbo sort of thing and look at a short-term contract and try and rebuild his value and then go for a 2-3 year deal in that 20 mil plus. But, you know, the clock's ticking. Like you said, he's not getting any younger. And I believe we have an erosion of the skills. And for the money he's looking at, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, he could do an Ian Desmond where, you know, he goes in and plays for Texas or, like you said, with Trumbo, Baltimore, try to rebuild his value there. And try to get the big contract starting in 2018. Though, Timmy, when he's 37 years old, I don't know. I mean, he's a little trapped.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there is one team out there that's not afraid to spend money that is going to be looking at a DH-type player, and the Jays happen to have two players that fit the bill, Bautista and E5, and that's the Boston Red Sox. So I think one of the two of them ends up in Beantown next year.
Interesting. I'm going to reject that notion. I think the Boston Red Sox, well, then again, it's Dombrowski, right? So he's more traditional.
Yeah,
you bring up a really good point, but maybe I don't reject it, but I think it's a bad move. That's a team that doesn't have any problem scoring runs. It's got speed at the top of the lineup. And do they really need a full-time DH and paying them $20 million a year? Do they really need that in E5?
There's a difference between needs and wants or needs and greed. Needs and greeds, how's that? Yeah, no, they don't need it, but that doesn't mean they aren't going to go out and chase it.
Yeah, there's just not, free agency is very, very thin this year, so there's some bats out there. There's no pitching, and the Red Sox need more pitching because, as we've talked about, David Price is not David Price anymore. And they need somebody at the front of that lineup, which I think, Timmy, you're going to see some of their young kids and potentially a Moncada or Jackie Bradley Jr. or Andrew Benintendi. Somebody's going to go to try to bring in a pitcher.
Well, they're going to have to get another star. As a matter of fact, they also, I think, they need a bullpen arm as well. Not that I'm down on Craig Kimbrell. I'm not. He had a tough season with the injury. But you look at the supporting cast, and it's not as strong as I think Boston would like it to be.
And it's interesting, Tim. I mean, we do the show every week, and we talk trades. We've talked every trade that's made, any significant trade. And we were both relatively shocked at how expensive Aroldis Chapman for a two-month rental. He called him Gleyber Torres and Billy McKinney. These are really good players, and how much we just thought about it. Andrew Miller costs. Don't be surprised if all of a sudden this offseason starting, middle relievers and closers cost a fortune in trades and could be as much as a starting pitcher. So because the landscape has changed, and if you feel like they need a middle reliever, that's going to cost them a penny too. But I don't think all those young players are going to be staying with the Red Sox.
No, I don't either. And, you know, when you look at the fact that the counter to Dombrowski, Mike Hazen, has now moved to the Diamondbacks. That probably puts Dombrowski in even more of a powerful situation in Boston. You know, I mean, there's no yin to the yang sort of thing. And I think it'll put Dombrowski in a situation where he's going to do whatever he wants to do now. And, hey, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but Boston, like you said, could be moving some young players for veteran presence.
That's what history has told us Dombrowski will do. He's not afraid to move his young players to bring in proven starters. And it didn't work in Detroit. And what's worked in Boston is what Theo Epstein did and then what Ben Sherrington did to build these teams. It'll be interesting to see how that's going to be fascinating over the next two or three years, how the Red Sox deal with all this. And if they bring in a bunch of 35-year-olds and Bautista and Encarnacion, I mean, then we'll know what the fans in Boston are going to be up again. They'll be playing for now as opposed to building a sustainable kind of engine, which is what they've done now.
Yeah, exactly. I look forward to every part of the baseball season, and it's going to be fascinating to see what does transpire in the next couple months.
It's amazing to me. I was looking. I think I might go down for a couple of days because it's in Washington this year, and that's the winter meetings. And so that's just a quick train ride for me to go down to. It's at the beautiful Gaylord, which is actually just outside of Washington. Actually, they're building a gigantic casino right around there. It's fascinating. I'm intending to build a casino at the nation's capital. I don't know how I feel about that, but anyway.
Gambling and politics? I can't believe that.
Can't believe that, right?
No. No. What's wrong with that picture, right?
But that happens December 1st is when it starts, and you know we're just about at November 1st, so not very long, and we get the winter meetings. Right after that, it's Christmas, Timmy, and then it's draft season. So this off season is going to go by quickly. I think we're about 120 days off from pitchers and catchers reporting, so it's going to go by quickly.
And you know what? Every year as I get older, it seems to go quicker. I don't know what's up with that, but I wish I could roll it back just a tad.
And the NLCS, Timmy, was the Cubs and the Dodgers. The Cubs win 4-2. And Stephen Ward, one of my Twitter followers, said he tweeted at me this morning, has the curse been broken or do the Cubs have to win it all to break it? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think a lot of the curse is nonsense. You know, hey, I think you can make up excuses.
This coming from the man who bet on the Giants because it was even odds. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, very observant of you. Sort of like calling the what's that? The pot calling the kettle black or something like
exactly.
that? Or...
exactly.
Oops, caught. Gosh,
but
darn,
I agree with
you.
I mean, I think the curse
is... Why do you have
to
listen so well, Rich?
I know. Obviously the curse is nonsense, but I think it's probably more a factor of daytime baseball for so many years, a lousy ballpark, a lousy training facilities up there. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that probably has caused the curse, the bad winters and the wind blowing in and the wind blowing out. I mean, it's all that kind of crap that they have in Chicago.
Well, yeah, let's face it, okay? We're getting close to the beginning of November. And, you know, we could be between Cleveland and Chicago. We could be playing in snowstorms the final two games of the World Series. You can't rule it out with the weather being what it is. And if somebody drops a ball in Chicago or in the Jake, you know, in the middle of a snowstorm, that's got nothing to do with a curse. That's got to do with bad weather. That's just the way it is. And I think just too much has been made of it.
Let's talk about some of these players in these on these clubs. I mean, Addison Russell was terrible, Tim. He was absolutely terrible. Last two games, he just pulled it together. What do you expect from him next year? 20 home runs, 93 RBIs, but a .235 batting average. He really doesn't steal any bases. He's got a 75% contact rate, but he's only 23 years old. So this is a guy that we consider as a top shortstop?
I think we can consider him 2 to 3 rounds ahead of Tulo. How's that?
That was my next question. So if you say Tulo's in the 7th or 8th, you're talking him then in the 5th or 6th round.
Well, as a 23-year-old, he drove in 90-some-odd runs, 95 runs last year. That's pretty solid for a kid barely out of diapers, isn't it?
I agree, Timmy. And I, you know, 20 home runs versus Tulo's 24 home runs. There's 8-year difference between the two. This is a guy on the upswing, and I think a guy that could produce what Tulo's done over the last couple of years with a 25, 28 home runs, 100 RBIs, and I think that batting average is going to go a little north.
Well, I think so, too. He's young. Future is awful bright for Addison Russell. And I think he's a player that has the potential to slip a little bit just because people might be looking at stolen bases. They might be looking at the batting average, whatever. But, you know, I have no reservations, no hesitation at all moving Addison Russell up into the fourth, fifth round, pending, of course, how the first three rounds of my team go.
Jack Peterson is a perplexing one to me, Mr. McLeod. This is a guy hit 25 home runs. You like that, but only 68 RBIs because he's either at the top of the lineup or the bottom of the lineup. He batted 248. He has terrible contact at 68%. His struggles against lefty, I don't know if you've looked at this recently, his bat's 125. It's only 64 at-bats. That's because he's sitting a lot against lefties. And then after back then, the thing that blows me away, Timmy, we talked about speed and power as he was coming up. He had back-to-back 30 stolen base seasons. He's had 10 stolen bases in 315 major league games. First of all, what do we expect from him next year, and what the heck happened to his stolen bases?
I expect to see more of what we have seen, and I haven't a clue on the stolen bases. Is it a team thing, Rich? I really don't know, because you look at the ground, okay, that he covers in center field, okay? Defensively, he's good. He's solid, and he owns that position. He's got wheels. Why he's not running is a total mystery to me. I would have to think it is an organizational decision as compared to an individual.
I would think so. I mean, he's not a burner by any stretch. I mean, he's an average, maybe a 55 runner, so I don't know where the 30 stolen bases came from, but I expect it more than 3 or 4 a year. I expect it like 10 to 12 kind of thing. So, but there's really no attempts either by him. So he's just flat out not running.
Yeah, I was expecting 15 to 20. 10 in, what, 2 years, 2.5 years, whatever it is. No, that's not enough. So, and it's too bad because, again, it's Major League Baseball, not caring about us folks in fantasy baseball, because if you add 15 stolen bases to his numbers, all of a sudden he starts getting a lot more attractive, doesn't he?
So do you bet on the come that there's going to be 15 stolen bases, knowing that he has it in his – I mean, he couldn't have slowed down that much in 2 years. Or do you say, well, wait a minute, I guess he is a 25-5 guy with a low batting average and potentially sitting against lefties? And is that how you look at him going to the draft table?
That's how I do, yeah. What concerns me is I think we know that there's going to be power. He's proven that. We know that there's not going to be batting average, at least not in the short term. And do I want to take a chance on a low batting average guy gaining me the potential for 15? No, I'm gonna pass on that. If I'm going to look at a guy to try and increase his stolen base potential, I'd like to see some contact rates in place first.
I agree. The great Dr. Robert Mershak is asking, what are they going to do about Tolles? What are they going to do about Puig? What are the Dodgers going to do about Ethy or Kendrick? Utley. It's a strange team. He's absolutely right. It's a team that's absolutely stacked in the minor leagues as well. I still think they move Puig, Timmy. Andrew Tolles is a nice – yeah, you think he's a Brewer. Interesting. Who do they get? What's the trade then?
I think Ryan Braun will be part of the package.
Oh, that's right, Ryan Braun. That's right. Okay, yeah, that makes sense to me. I think Puig is gone. I think he's just. We've never thought he's very good, Timmy. So, and our conscience is clear on that. I think we can take a bow on that one. But I think they'll bring back Utley just because. I mean, he played well, and he's a guy that could be a part-time player and a nice little player there. I think veteran presence kind of thing as veteran presence is saying, but Ethier and Kendrick, I don't know. Those guys are still owed a lot of money, but I don't get those guys.
No, and, you know, Gonzalez is starting to get a little bit long in the tooth. I think the pitching is fine, but there's some holes to fill. And, you know, when you look at it, there shouldn't be that many holes to fill on a team that's operating with a budget somewhere around $300 million.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot less as they're starting to shed some payroll, but that's what they had. They made that horrible trade with the Boston Red Sox, and they're still living with the ramifications of that.
Yes, they certainly are.
Final question before we get into our draft is, oh, two. Jason Hayward, is he draftable in a mixed league?
How many bench spots do you have?
Let's go with a 15-team, 7. I'm going to say no, Timmy. I, what's the point of a guy that's going to hit 8 home runs, steal 5 bases, and bat 230?
Well, you know, when I started taking a little bit of a look today at some of the different positions and, you know, just roaming around looking at some players for this draft, and one thing that definitely leapt out at me is that outfield's sort of scary, I think, heading into next year. There's a lot of positions to be filled, and I think it could be a concern. So I'm going to say yes, but very, very late, and until something happens, he'll probably be riding the pine, but I'll take a chance on him for a bench slot. That's it.
It's interesting. He's got, looking at stat line, 7 home runs, 11 stolen bases. He batted 230. He did have a decent contact rate of 82%, and he walked, you know, 9%. Looks like his batting average in balls in play is a little down, but the problem is a 46% ground ball rate. I mean, he's still beating everything on the ground, and he needs to start driving the ball again like he did early on in his career. Until he does that, Timmy, I don't think it's full-time at bats in the Cubs, and I don't think he belongs on a fantasy team. And it's terrible because I own him in one of these dynasty leagues. I picked him as my number one pick 4 years ago, and I still have him. And I sat him towards the end of the season. I was playing guys that I got off the waiver wire in front of him.
Well, yeah, you'd have to be. What commodity do you need more important? What's more important to you, Rich, the 7 home runs or the 11 stolen bases?
I'm looking at Baseball HQ, and according to them, he earned $0 in a rotisserie league. 15-team rotisserie league, there's a goose egg there. He was minus $3 on a 12-team league. So this is a waiver wire guy and a guy who shouldn't be owned.
Yeah, I'm not disagreing with the premise of per se whether he should or shouldn't. Just on the upside potential and the fact that I think outfield's going to be thin, I'll stash him on my bench just to see what happens, but I can tell you one thing. The leash would be incredibly short.
I think that's fair, Timmy, but I love the word upside. He's now 28 years old, who's been doing this for the last 3 years. I'm not sure the upside is there. I mean, he might just be the player he is that somehow everybody fell in love with that body. They looked at him in the offseason. The Cubs looked at him in the offseason and said, just like you said, boy, there's still something there. He looks so good.
Well,
and he's not any good. You know,
well,
it's
no.
Like...
The Cubs not only thought he looked good, but they committed, what, almost $200 million or so?
Yeah, he has an opt-out call. He ain't opting out, Tim. So they're stuck with that $200 million. And, you know, that's still going to hurt even if they win the World Series, because he didn't help them win the World Series. They could have done it without him.
I don't think his overall contribution has been overwhelming. Is that the right way of putting it?
Yeah, if you want to do wins above replacement, I think it was a couple because it was all of his defense. So he's a defensive replacement. That's who he is, and you're paying him $20 million a year. That's going to hurt in about 5 or 6 years. When Chris Bryant and all these guys come up, Addison Russell, when they all come up for free agency, and you're going to go, well, we can't afford all those guys because we're paying Jason Hayward $20 million a year.
Well, yeah, and they can't trade him to the D-backs now that Stewart's out. So, yeah, they're hooped.
Timmy, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to be drafting the first two rounds. I'm really looking forward to this. And we are back, Timmy, and this is going to be a very simple draft. We're not really drafting a team, Timmy. We're simply trying to figure out who's going to be in the first two rounds I'm going to let age go before beauty, so I'm going to let you draft first, and then I'll draft, and then you draft, and that's the way it's going to be. No snake draft or any crazy thing like that. So are you ready, my friend?
Yeah, I got a list of about 40 players sitting right in front of me, and hey, I was born ready. There's nothing I like better than drinking draft on a Sunday night.
Okay, so when are your draft nights with Sunday nights with Tim, when do they start off?
We're looking at probably the first, second week of December. Pretty quick, actually. They're not too far around the corner, and then we'll be right into it.
6 weeks away. Wow, that's great. Timmy, the year is just moving. Believe it or not, this year, 2016, is almost done. We're a year older, man.
Well, yeah, the only good thing about that is as I get older and my memory gets poorer and poorer is I'm meeting new friends all the time. The only problem is I supposedly have known them for a long time, Rich.
It is so funny. For all you guys at 30-something or you millennials in your 20s, Tim is absolutely right. Timmy, you feel like there's something wrong with you because your memory is just not as good. It's the same thing with me, and it's like, people names go so quickly, and it's like you're humming. It's bad, man.
I went to the doctor about 3 months ago because I was actually concerned that maybe I was coming down with, you know, like a pre-Alzheimer's sort of thing, because things that I could remember, names, faces. I'm in sales, Rich, and the key in sales is knowing names. You know, hey you doesn't
hey
work
you.
If you're making a presentation.
Hey, so, Bob, no, Dan,
yeah.
There, no.
Yeah. So when I went to him, and I gave him my big spiel, and he said to me, well, you know, is Kathy concerned? And I said, well, no, not at all. He said, well, you're fine then. You're just getting old. If Kathy'd noticed something, well, it'd be something different. But until you're supposed to notice something, you're just getting old. Accept it. Move
I
on.
Know, Timmy. It's all you youngsters out there, enjoy being young because, man, you get old. There's nice things about getting old, Timmy, but one of them is not this memory thing really sucks. And you and I do this podcast, and we've got hundreds of players going on in our head, and I'm convinced if I gave up baseball, I'd probably do my job a little bit better because I have more open space in there to remember other things. So you know who the second baseman for the Cleveland Indians are. You could probably remember that guy at the call that you got to make on Tuesday, but that second baseman sitting in that one space, and we just have finite spaces. The older you get, those extra memory slots, they go away.
Well, yeah, Kathy, what did she say? You've only got so much room for useless information, and my storage space is full. How's that?
Exactly, Timmy. And we all know you pretty well. You got a lot of useless information rolling up there because we've heard a lot of it.
Oh, yeah. There is no doubt in my mind, Rich, none whatsoever.
Okay, so you're on the clock, Timmy. Who do you got?
Mike Trout. Got to go Trout number one. As much as there are other options you could look at, there is nobody safer in the game today than Mike Trout at number one.
I know, with the amount of stolen bases he had last year, Timmy, or 2016, it's. He said he was going to steal more bases. As long as he continues to do that, I think, I mean, Mookie Betts is going to be my pick. I mean, it's. I don't think there's anybody really any close to Mike Trout. I mean, it's a $40 player according to Baseball HQ. And let's see, 29 home runs and 30 stolen bases. The guy basically went 30-30.
Yeah, 123 runs scored, 100 RBIs. Is he 25 yet, by the way? I don't think so, is he?
He's 24.
Yeah.
I think he turns 25 sometime this fall, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, yeah. What more do you want? He's got a proven history. He's as safe can be. You know, even if he drops to 10, 15 stolen bases, so you'll survive.
Timmy, I'm going with Mookie Betts in the number two slot. 30 home runs, 26 stolen bases, a .318 batting average, another $40 player, 88% contact rate, a 7% walk rate. Guy is controlling his strikes on very well, 41% ground ball rate, so he is driving the ball. You know, he's the only guy that I think can maybe challenge Mike Trout for the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I don't have any problems with Mookie at number two. Hey, if you want to take him at number one and go the very, very unsafe road, well, hey, go for it. But bets at number two, I think, is going to be a pretty standard pick.
Okay, Timmy, you're on the clock.
Well, I hummed and hawed a little bit about this one, and I'm going with a pick that might by some be considered a little unconventional, but the two players I'm looking at, the second choice is Jose Altuve, who I'm not picking. And
oh.
the reason I'm not picking him is because I'm a little concerned about the 23 for 26 in the first half stolen bases and the 7 for 7 in the second half. I'm going to go with who I believe is the best first baseman in the game, and I'm taking Paul Goldschmidt at number 3. 24 homers, 95 RBIs, 106 runs, 32 stolen bases, and the D-backs will be a better team with Mike Hazen running them.
I agree with you on that, Timmy, and I applaud your pick of Paul Goldschmidt. When I was doing my prep work today, I knew he had a lot of stolen bases, but I didn't own Paul Goldschmidt last year. And when I saw 32, it just made me stop. Because then all of a sudden, if I can get a, you know, let's say he doesn't do 32 next year, he does 20-25. I can get a guy stealing 20-25 stolen bases at first base. I can start to do different things at shortstop, maybe second base. And, you know, so I can... You know, which gives you a lot of flexibility because that 24 home runs, I think that's going to go north. So I think you're going to start to see closer to 30 next year than 20. And I think he's a solid number 3 pick, Timmy. I applaud you on that. That's where I would have gone as well.
Oh, thanks, Rich. Like I said, I was hemming and hawing, and I'll leave you to come up a little short. How's that?
Well played, Timmy. Of course, I'm going to go with the great Jose Altuve. I do agree with your concern, Timmy, that I own Jose Altuve in two leagues last year, two dynasty leagues, and you know, I kept tapping the screen. I thought there was something wrong because there was never a stolen base that came up, and he just didn't try. As you said, 7 for 7. It wasn't like he was 7 for 50 or something like that. He was trying to get – he just never attempted a stolen base, and I don't know why.
I read that wrong, Rich. He was 7 for 14 in the second half.
Oh, 7 for 14. So that's concerning. So he's never been a burner. Mate, was he a little injured? I don't know. A little tired. Was it moving down to the number 3 hole that he felt like he couldn't run as much because, you know, he was getting on base? Because everything else is great, Tim. The runs are there. The power is there. But you want Jose Altuve to steal you 30 to 40 bases. I mean, that's what you want.
Well, yeah, and 30 stolen bases, yeah, you know, the 24 home runs is a nice bonus. But what you want is you don't want 30 stolen bases. You want closer to 40 is what you want.
Correct, Timmy, and let's be real. I mean, the guy is 5 foot. I don't care what any of the back of the baseball card. I've met this guy. He's 5'4", 5'5". Do you really believe he can hit more than 24 home runs next year? I mean, come on now, Timmy.
Yeah, you know what? I'd be very happy with 17, 18 home runs and 40 stolen bases. How's that?
I totally agree with you, Timmy. And dollar-wise, it's going to be about the same. So you take a look at the dollar of the value of the players, about the same. But I'd rather have that mix back to looking better for stolen bases just because power, again, I can get power elsewhere. So it is a concerning pick at number 4. And maybe he'll talk about that before the real drafts start, Timmy. But hey, batting average is something that's at a premium. He definitely provides that, as does Mookie, Mike, and Jose, and Paul Goldschmidt. So I think in that those first 4 picks, Tim, you not only looking for power and speed, but you're looking for a guy that's going to get on base or is going to get you a high batting average. You just need that because that's another thing that drops off very, very quickly.
Well, it sure does, and you know, you take a look at, I believe Goldschmidt was 400 OBP. That's rather large.
Yep. Okay, Timmy, you're on the clock with the 5th pick.
Okay, this is where things get fun because I could see a number of different picks at number 5. But I'm going to go with a kid who's 24 years old. He just completed his second season and arguably the best player on a team currently playing for the World Series, and I'm going to take the 39 homers, 102 RBIs, the 121 runs scored, 8 stolen bases from a soon-to-be 24-year-old Chris Bryant.
and he was my number five on the board, Timmy. I agree with everything you said. The only thing that's of a little concern is there's 154 strikeouts. But there's also 75 walks. So the contact rate is still at, let's see, for a guy with that level of power, contact rate at 74%, I'll take that, and an 11% walk rate. So I think there's nothing but upside. I still think there's upside with Chris Bryant.
I do, too. I don't think we've seen the best.
For my pick, Timmy, I hemmed and hawed on this, and I'm looking at the Baseball HQ, and there's Jonathan Villar and his 62 stolen bases. I'm anxious to see if he even goes in the top two rounds. And Jean Segura is another guy that you kind of look at and go, ooh, well, you like that 33 stolen bases. But Timmy, I'm going to go with a guy that I just think has been money over the last couple of years. This is a guy that you felt like would not be a first-round draft pick after he was one last year, this coming year, and I think he is, and he plays third base. He is 25 years old. In his 26th season, he had 41 home runs. He had 133 RBI. He had 116 runs scored. I got this big spreadsheet, Timmy. It's hard to see everything. He only had a couple of stolen bases, but that is one Nolan Arenado at a batting average of .294.
Yeah. You know, when I looked at Bryant, I looked at Arenado, I looked at Josh Donaldson. I don't think you can go wrong with any of those picks. They're all great. They're all great picks. They're all fully defendable. Young players with upside that I don't know about upside with Arenado, but young players that are producing at an incredibly high level. You can't go wrong anywhere there.
I got four third basemen in my top ten.
One, two, three. Well, yeah, I got a few, too.
It's pretty impressive. Timmy, you're on the clock, my friend. Who do you got?
Well, hey, seeing as how we're on a third baseman run here, what's wrong with Josh Donaldson at number seven? 37 homers, 99 RBIs, 122 runs scored. Ah, even chipped in seven stolen bases. I'll go with Donaldson at number seven.
That is great, Timmy. I had him number 10. I think Donaldson is the, you know, it's funny, I'm looking at Baseball HQ, and again, I just ranked them by the dollar earned. And just looking at the ages is fascinating. 23, 26, 24, 25, 26, 28. Charlie Blackman at age 30 is the first guy with a three handle. 25, then Nathaniel Murphy at 31. Chris Bryant, 24. Timmy, it is amazing how many young players are at the top of the list. At 30 years old, Josh Donaldson's old.
Well, he's entering his prime, his peak power years, and he's a senior citizen, right?
It is amazing. And then to see the crazy David Ortiz, Timmy, is like number 12 on this list in terms of value that's been earned. It is fascinating. But all these young kids, and you've got only three guys in there, with Daniel Murphy and his crazy batting average, sitting up there as the old guy, if you throw David Ortiz out. But I do like the Josh Donaldson pick. He's a safe pick. I'm going to go with a little bit non-safe pick, but I just still like this guy a lot. I don't know what the heck happened. We talked about Jose Altuve. I don't know what happened with his speed, and that is young Manny Machado, and his 37 home runs, his .294 batting average. But Tim, zero stolen bases after,
yep.
I don't know how many stolen, I don't have that up. I don't know how many stolen, he had a lot, almost 20 stolen bases the previous year, did he not?
I don't know why the number 19 is, or 15 or 19 rings a bell, but yeah, to go from whatever he had, which was double digits, to zero, that's shocking.
It does seem like an organizational type of thing, because I think it was the guy that was the Rule 5 player that was an outfielder. I think he led the team with five stolen bases. I mean, nobody stole bases on that team. And I'm wondering if Buck said, look, we're a power team, get on base or do station to station. And maybe they readdressed that, Timmy, because he's got enough speed that he could steal stolen bases.
Well, yeah, it's got to be organizational. Baltimore's just going, there's no need with the big boppers in that lineup to force the issue. I think, who was it? Was it Joey Ricard? Was their leading base stealer or
yes,
something?
Yes, that's who the guy was, yep, with five. Machado hit 20 last year, but interesting enough, in his age 21 year, coming back from all those ankle injuries, he had two. So I'm wondering if the 20 is the outlier, but you think he could do more than zero. It was 0 for 3. So I tried three stolen bases. So I don't know, Timmy. The power's there. The run scored are there. The RBIs are there. So let's just get a few handful of stolen bases, and that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly fine. There's our four third basemen. Bingo, bango, yep. Bongo, and bongo again. They're all gone, right?
Okay, Timmy, who do you got?
Okay, well, you know what? It's about time. I only have three pitchers.
Timmy, I think our lists are identical because the next guy I have is Clayton Kershaw as well. So
I only have three that I think qualify for the first two rounds. And the first one, when healthy, is heads and above the rest of the pack. The best in the game, Clayton Kershaw, number 9.
I agree with you, Timmy. There's no dispute. I've got 4 or 5 guys that are of pitchers, and one of them is very controversial. I don't know if he'll make it because he's got him sitting at number 29. But I looked at a stat line, and I'm just going to say his name, Justin Verlander, Tim. Justin Verlander was really, really good.
Yeah, he was. And I'm sort of anticipating heading into next year the same sort of scenario that we saw last year. I think you're going to see in the first two rounds – you're going to see 2 or 3 starters go off the board. And then once you get to round 3, hold on to your shorts because you're going to see starting pitchers in round 3 and 4 fly off the board. At least that's my early thoughts are.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about Justin Verlander in the coming weeks, and I think we need to really dissect him a lot because we got to figure out, is this just some kind of crazy anomaly, or has this guy learned how to pitch? And with his somewhat diminished velocity, it's still really good. He's still 94-95, but he's no longer 97. But has he learned to pitch? And I think that's going to be the question. Or are we going to see a guy completely regress to the pitcher he was the 2 years prior, which is a disaster if you pick him as your fantasy ace?
Well, yeah, I think, and we discussed it, I think, at length last year. Didn't he start watching films? He started becoming more of a more prepared, more focused. I think that counts a lot, and I think our little Mr. Verlander has grown into being a well-rounded starting pitcher.
So you're kind of buying it.
Yeah, I kind of am, but I ain't going to pay for it in the first two rounds. I'll let somebody else have the luxury on that one.
Timmy, I'm on the clock, and I'm going with a guy that I just, quite frankly, don't understand. It's a guy who won the MVP last year in the National League. His power was down early. He hit 24, which is good, but in today's game, that's not too good. He did steal 21 bases, 21 of 31. His batting average was a disappointing .243. But yet, he still had a 77% contact rate. He walked 18% of the time. His batting average and balls in play was a little down. I'm going to go with Bryce Harper. I still think Bryce Harper is a number one, is a first-round draft pick with a lot of upside. Timmy, he's 23 years old. He's the same age as Mookie Betts.
Well, yeah, no, I agree. He's a kid. The only thing is with Harper is, You're going to get one of two scenarios, and one you're going to really like, and the other one you're not going to like so much. And which one do we see next year? I think he's got to be picked somewhere between where you just picked him and the wheel, and whoever owns him is going to be it's going to be a concern watching him get out of the gate because I just don't think you know what you're going to get from Bryce Harper, and that makes it tough.
The first tenor in the book, Timmy, is Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Paul Goldschmidt, Jose Altuve, Chris Bryant, Nolan Arenado, Josh Hamilton, Manny Machado, Clayton Kershaw, Bryce Harper, and Timmy on the clock. Who is your number 11th?
Well, you know, one of the two of us is going to have to make this pick, Rich. And, I'll be the one that incurs the scorn for it. But the guy I'm looking at, he only hit 13 home runs. Drove in 40. He only scored 53 runs, stole 33 bases, But all of that happened in half a season, and I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm going with Trey Turner. I want those stolen bases, and I want them bad. I think he's going to be a superstar.
I think he's going to be a superstar as well, Tim. I had him number 15 because I had him at first, I think, up where you picked him, and I couldn't do it. I'm going, is this really that real? But, Timmy, he did it in the playoffs, too. He was really good in the playoffs. So I don't see anything stopping this kid, and I think he could be 60, 70. He could be more stolen bases with 15 home runs hitting at the bottom. This could be the number – this could be the number one player in fantasy. He's got that kind of upside.
Well, you know, if you double those up, okay, what does 25 home runs, 85 RBIs, 65 stolen bases, and 110 runs, where does that put you?
Well, according to Baseball HQ, it sounds awfully familiar, Timmy. 19 home runs, 62 stolen bases, a .285 batting average with 92 runs and 63 RBI. That is one Jonathan VR who came in fourth in terms of dollar value in a 15-team league. That is, I mean, that's basically what you just said.
Yeah, that one leagues last year. Whoever owned Jonathan VR, if you finished anything worse than third, you had a pretty bad team.
You got to turn in your fantasy card.
Yeah, turn in your as Marcus Potter would say. Yeah, turn in your card. It's over.
All right, Timmy. I got Anthony Rizzo as my guy. I think a safe pick, a guy that you can count on for 30 home runs. Also, you know, a poor man's Paul Goldschmidt. He only sold three bases, but I think there's a little bit more stolen bases there. The runs scored are going to be there. The RBI is going to be there in that great Cubs lineup. He's still only 26 years old. I think he's still a first-round draft pick.
Yep, I agree with you. He was next on my list, Rich. And you know, when you look at first base, I got to look at it a little deeper yet. But, you know, there's a lot of first base at the top end of the grid. And then there's a whole slew of question marks. And it's very, very, very intriguing when you start looking at first base because, I don't know, I'm looking at it next year. If I can secure myself one of the better first basemen, I probably will.
Yeah, I agree with you. Timmy, you're on the clock.
Well, you know what? I got to go with the newest member of the Boston Red Sox. 42 homers, 127 RBIs, 99 runs scored. I'm going with my good friend who I can't pronounce his name still to this day, and that would be E5.
That is the number 13th pick. That's a good pick, Timmy. I do worry if we were to draft a team this year. I think it's a little early just because we don't know where he's playing. But assuming
right.
he goes to a good ballpark, you think it's Boston, which I think would be considered a good ballpark for him. I agree with you. Even though he is, how old is he? Encarnacion?
32.
He is 30. It's 33 years. He's 33 today. So I don't know when his birthday is. So, I mean, that's a little long in the tooth, but I mean, you can't deny the level of production that's there. The batting average is, you know, .263. So that's tough in the first round, but I mean the power is there, and all the other secondary skills are there. So it's a great pick. I'm going to go with another older guy, Timmy, and I didn't realize how good Miguel Cabrera was, but he was really really good. I think he's like 12th or something on Baseball HQ here. 38 home runs, there's no speed, .316 batting average, 81% contact rate, 11% walk rate, $27 earned. What's not to like about Miguel Cabrera? I don't see him slowing down anytime soon, even though he is 33 years old. I think he's got another year or two before you potentially start to see a fall off. But this is just a hitting machine.
Yeah, he's a lean, mean, or anything but lean, mean hitting machine. 38 home runs. I think you can pencil him in for 3,100, 90-plus runs for the next 3 to 4 years, easy, barring injuries. He's consistent. He's safe. Great pick.
You're up, Timmy. You're on the clock.
And we're up to number 15 already, eh?
Halfway done.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to keep with the trend of speed here, Rich.
Oh,
and
dog.
You know who I'm taking?
Yeah, he's at the top of my queue.
A Pittsburgh Pirate, maybe.
I know. Yep. I just already put your name down next, so.
Yeah, 47 stolen bases, 9 home runs, 46 RBIs, in 489 at-bats. He's one of the few that I think is a relatively safe pick for 40-plus stolen bases, and that's Starling Marte.
I've been taking Starling Marte in the beginning of the second round for the last couple of years, and I've been very happy with the production I've gotten out of him. And, I think he goes right at the wheel, maybe even a couple picks ahead. Would I take Starling Marte in front of Trey Turner? Perhaps, maybe a guy who's been around a little bit longer. I think it's a great pick, Timmy, and I think he's going to be a bit of a steal.
Pun intended. Well done.
Okay.
I listen to sometimes.
Now we're at the top of the second round, and I'm all over the place, Timmy. But I'm just going to go to the next guy that I spent all my time putting down. I'm going with a pitcher. I'm going to go with Max Scherzer. His strikeouts, his great earned run average, and the fact that he pitches for a very, very good team, never seems to get injured. I'm sure that's the kiss of death. But I'm going with Max Scherzer. Is he the second best pitcher off the board? I think he is, just because of the strikeouts, and that's another thing that's just decreased in this year is the strikeout rate that we've got for pitchers. So I'm going with Scherzer.
Well, how can you go wrong with 280 last year? I think he's a lock for 250-plus. And, you know, one thing I didn't realize until I started looking at the stats on him, he had a sub-1 whip. That's pretty impressive out of a pitcher that pitches that many innings. That gives you a really, really awesome start in virtually every category across the board in pitching. I like Scherzer there.
Timmy, you're on the clock with pick number 17.
Pick number 17. Well, I keep looking at him, but I can't pick him. So I'm gonna pass on the guy I probably should pick.
Is that Brian Dozier?
And I'm gonna. No. Well, same position.
All right. Let's see.
Robinson Cano.
Oh, I got Robinson Cano. Yeah, I see. I got him right there. I got him in the area. I got him 18th. So I got him sitting right in there.
Yeah. No. I'm gonna sit back and pass there, and I'm gonna go with a guy who broke out in power, and we saw diminished stolen bases last year out of him, a Colorado Rocky, but I think we're gonna see a few more stolen bases next year. He dealt with that turf toe issue, and he was out for almost a month, and even being out a month, 29 homers, 82 RBIs, 111 runs scored, 17 stolen bases, and that would be the bearded one, Mr. Charlie Blackmon.
It's a good pick. I had him a couple picks down to me. I like the pick a lot. And, I like the pick. What can I say? I mean, it's a good pick.
Well, thanks, Rich. The power is an added bonus, but I think next year I'm thinking we can see him back into the, low to mid-20s in stolen bases. And when you start looking at outfielders, how many outfielders have we picked so far, Rich?
That's a good question, Timmy. We have picked Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, 1 and 2, and then we finally picked Bryce Harper with pick number 10. That's a 3, and Starling Marte with pick number 13. So, and Trey Turner. So we picked 4 in the first 15.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I've only got one other outfielder besides Charlie Blackmon in my top 30.
Yeah, no, there's...
Oh, I got another one in there. I got another one. Sorry, so I've got 8 outfielders in the top 30.
Yeah, no, outfield is going to be interesting this year.
It very much is. Timmy, I'm going with Brian Dozier with pick 18.
Okay.
We talked about Dozier midseason. I mean, is he going to hit 42 home runs? No. But you take a look at his power, and it's been increasing every year. He stole 18 bases. The batting average is .268. He had a good contact rate, 78%, a good walk rate. He scored 104 runs. I'm not sure how he did that in Minnesota. But it's a really, really good player that I think people just go, it's Brian Dozier. He's not that good, but he's really good.
Yeah, well, yeah, he really is. He got on a tear to start the second half, and it just didn't end. My guess is he'd be up to about 60 if we extended the season by a month the way he was hitting. An incredible run, no doubt about it.
You're on the clock, Timmy, with pick number 19.
Pick number 19. Oh, I'm hemming and hawing here. Okay, I'm going to let my Canadian loyalties come to the fro here, and I'm going to pick two guys, Joey Votto and Joey Votto of the Cincinnati Reds. 29.97, 100 runs, 101 runs scored, 8 stolen bases, a 434 OBP, off the charts. If you're playing in an OBP league, he has got to be moved up, I would say, to probably the wheel, somewhere in that range with his history. What's interesting is that that 434 wasn't the best OBP in the league. That was owned by Mike Trout at 441. But Votto came in at 2. Who came in at number 3, Rich?
Freddie Freeman?
DJ LeMahieu at 416.
Yeah. He's shockingly high, Timmy. So it's interesting. I had Joey Votto down at 25. So, I mean, 19, I think that's a great pick. Okay, Timmy, I'm going up next. I'm going to go with the NL Rookie of the Year and young Mr. Corey Seager with your Los Angeles Dodgers. And just, there's a lot of shortstops, and you still got Xander Bogaerts on the board. But in terms of shortstops off the board, I'm not looking. He's the first shortstop off the board, Timmy, and we've got a plethora of shortstop out there. And I picked him number one. I just realized that.
You know, I don't have him on my list.
Am I taking him too early?
I don't know if I don't think you're taking him too early. I just looked at shortstop, and I think there's a whole slew of talent there, and Seager has huge upside. I guess my concern with Seager is the lack of speed, and that's a concern that I have. that's just a constant concern of mine, Rich. I don't think you're taking him too early at all. I think there's incredible upside sitting there. I would just prefer somebody who runs a little bit. And it'll be interesting to see how shortstop shakes down as a whole, the group, because there's a lot of talent, but my gut feeling is you're not going to have to reach for a lot of that talent. I think it'll fall to you. Does that make sense?
I agree with you. I mean, if Corey Seager's the first guy off the board, and maybe I'm taking him too early, I mean, shortstop's really deep because there's a lot of really good shortstops. I'm Francisco Lindor, Carlos Correa, who had a really nice season. A lot of people don't – I got him number 30, Tim, just so you know. And you got Xander Bogaerts. It's some really good, talented shortstop guys that you can probably get a little bit later. Timmy, you're on the board at 21. I like to finish in the next 10 minutes, so – Let's try to plow through here quickly.
Okay, we'll remove some of the filler. Is that what you're saying? Okay, as I fill. We're going to go with Robinson Cano.
I like it, Timmy. I mean, I got him sitting at number 18. I think it's a good pick. The power came back. The batting average was there. I mean, what's not to like?
Well, yeah, my only concern is the position, the history. We've seen a couple rough years. Last year, we saw the Robinson Cano that Seattle thought they were buying. What happens moving forward?
Yeah, I agree. Timmy, I'm going to go a little bit off the grid here. I'm going with one Giancarlo Stanton. It's been a first-round draft pick the last couple of years. Down year, we don't know this Barry Bonds thing. What the heck happened there? Contact rate off the charts at 66%. He still somehow managed in 413 at-bats to hit 27 home runs. He's 26 years old, Timmy. I still think there's first-round draft value there. So I'm gonna grab him in the middle of the second round.
Great pick. He's on my list. I think somewhere in that area is the absolutely perfect spot. There's risk, but there's also huge reward, Rich.
Timmy, you're on the board with number pick 23.
Pick 23. I got to go with him. He's going to repeat. I know he is. He qualifies at both shortstop and third. And it's time to show my true spine in as far as the speed game. Jonathan Villar, 62 stolen bases, second shortstop, third base eligible, 92 runs, 19 homers, 63 RBIs. They'll find a spot for Mr. Villar in that lineup, and huge numbers. I expect to see 50-plus stolen bases again next year.
And you could be absolutely right. I am not going to draft him. I'm sorry. I'm just not. The batting average in balls in play is sky high. He's not a very good defender. The speed is there. He also got got caught 18 times. Just red flags. 70% contact rate. I don't get Jonathan Villar. I'm sorry.
Well, if you make me the right offer, you can't have him in DL too. How's that?
You snipe me a couple of picks ahead of time. I think, and then I said, oh, that's a bummer. I didn't get him. Oh, who cares? And of course, he probably got you that second place finish, and because I could have used those stolen bases.
Yeah, well, make me the right offer. I'm the type of guy that I'll bend for you, Rich. Okay, I won't break, but I'll bend.
Timmy, I'm going to go with my pick number 24. I'm going with Madison Bumgarner.
Good pick.
Solid pick. I think a fantasy ace and a guy that you want. So he's my pick at number 24. Timmy, you're on the clock with pick number 25.
Yeah, great pick, Rich. You know, and number 25, I gotta go back to first base, and I gotta think that finally, after years of not being healthy, we finally saw the true potential out of Will Myers. 28 home runs, 94 RBIs, one shy of 100 runs scored, and 28 stolen bases. Another burner at first base. The team is going to be better next year with Renfroe, Margot, et cetera, et cetera. I like Myers. I think he's a great pick towards the end of the second round.
And he was ranked 25 on my list, Timmy. I totally agree with you. Can he stay healthy? That's the question. I don't know, but I think it's a great pick. Timmy, I'm going to go back-to-back with pitchers and a guy that I've never owned in my life. But, I mean, there's no denying the kind of years he's had, and I think next year is going to be another fine year. And I do think pitching, we'll talk a lot about this in the coming weeks. I think quality pitching is a scarcity out there, and Chris Sale is really, really good. And the high strikeouts, the chance for wins, great ratios, I think he's solid. And I think people need to not be afraid to take a pitcher in the first two rounds. And Chris Sale, I don't know if I'll partake in it, but I think he belongs in the second round.
Yeah, and hey, I've got no problems at all with the I like the three. Sale is going to go somewhere between the bottom third of the second and the top pick or two of the third round. And who knows? He might be playing on another team next year, Rich.
He could be. If it's the Boston Red Sox, then he drops for me, just so you know, Timmy.
Okay.
27, Timmy, you're on the clock at number 27.
Okay, well, you know what? Last year was a lost year, but heading into last year, I know where he went because I owned him in virtually every league, and I'm willing to take a chance towards the back end at number two in A.J. Pollock of the Diamondbacks. And I think with Pollock healthy, it's not going to do anything but help Mr. Goldschmidt. You know, the last stats, full year stats, 39 stolen bases, 20.76, 111 runs scored. I'll go with A.J.
I mean, I didn't have him on the list. I looked at it. I hemmed and hawed. I wasn't sure where to put him. I didn't know if he was a second round but I think you're right. I think there's actually value at pick 27 with it because you have to figure that he's going to come back healthy like he did in 2015. So I think it's a great pick. I'm going to go with pick number 28. I'm going to go a little safe here because I think Ryan Braun is still Ryan Braun, and I'm going there as my outfielder because I'm with you just preparing for this first draft. I think people need to wait on shortstop, wait on third base, unless of course you get a chance to get one of the studs. And get your outfielders and your stud pitchers early and often, Timmy. And I'm going to go with Ryan Braun.
Good pick. He was right at the top of my list. Definitely back end of number two. I'm going with my speed motive again. And I'm going to go with a a second baseman who only got 325 at-bats in last year, but he stole 30 bases, scored 47 runs, and I think D. Gordon fits in well at the back end of round number two.
I think that's a really great call, Timmy, and hopefully his suspensions are behind him, and I think that's a really, really good call. I'm going to go with my end of the second round, and I think he will drop further. And I think it is a huge mistake for people to overlook this guy, and that is Carlos Correa, 20 home runs, 13 stolen bases, a .274 batting average, 77% contact, 7% walk rate. This is a guy, Timmy, that is 21 years old. Maybe a first-round draft pick was a bit of a reach for you last year in town. It was the right sentiment. I supported you on that. But that's really good value. I mean, basically, let's see, according to Baseball HQ, that's an $18 player. So, I mean, it's not a first-round player, but it's a solid second-round player. So I'm going to partake in Carlos Correa this year, and I'm going to enjoy the upside that I'm going to get with him.
Yeah, I totally agree. He was on my list. I just went with Gordon because I'm a speed whore. What can I say, Rich? It was there. But you know what's interesting is I only have, once we're now done this exercise, there were only two players that I didn't have on my list that you mentioned, and I am sitting with a grand total of, I've only got four players left on my list. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, same with me, Timmy. I have three players. Corey Kluber, Daniel Murphy. And Justin Verlander, I only had two. Justin Verlander I just wanted to talk about it. But I didn't have Jonathan Villar, which I think I meant indicated. I didn't have A.J. Pollock. I did not have D. Gordon. So those were only three I didn't have. So Tim, either we're both wrong or both right. So I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I had Murphy on mine. The other ones I had were Hanley Ramirez, Freddie Freeman.
I wanted to put Freddie Freeman there. I didn't know what to do with Mark Trumbo. These are guys we got to talk about. Freddie Freeman, Timmy, if you recall, you said he'd have about 40 RBIs last year. He had a really good year, particularly in an on-base percentage league. The power went back up. I don't know if it's real. Is Daniel Murphy as good as he showed? He had a really high batting average of balls in play. We got to get to all this stuff in the coming weeks.
Well, yeah, you know, Daniel Murphy hit 25 home runs, but he also hit 47 doubles, Rich. 47 doubles. That's a lot of extra base hits. It really is.
He found religion, Timmy, last year in the playoffs, and it has not stopped.
Well, no, it hasn't. And, you know, where we were doting last spring, I don't think we can dote anymore. One other thing that I found really interesting was I went through the top 10, okay, in home runs that – for outfielders, and it is absolutely, it's incredible, Rich. I'm willing to bet that you can't name six of them. The top 10 home run hitting outfielders from last year. I'd bet that you'd miss at least four. I never would have guessed them. It's
well, Mark Trumbo was one. Nelson
That's
Cruz.
Right.
Got that. Nelson Cruz is in there, right?
Yeah, okay. I guess if you qualify him, yeah. Okay.
Mike Trout, that 29 home runs with Mike Trout. I don't know, Timmy.
Catch this, Rich. Number two was Chris Davis.
That's right. My buddy Chris Davis, yes.
Yeah. Number three was Matt Kemp at 35.
Yep, on my NFBC team.
Jay Bruce. And Adam Duvall tied with 33.
Yeah.
Justin Upton with 31. Cespedes with 31. Mookie with 31.
All right, Timmy, you're destroying our shows coming up. We got to have stuff to talk about.
And how about your favorite player, the guy that you absolutely hated picking, Yasmani Tomas, 31.
I know, Timmy. It's insane. The power is insane. The lack of power in the outfield is a little insane. If you think about it, I mean, is Chris Davis really that good? Is Yasmani Tomas really that good? Do you want Yasmani Tomas like in a top six or seven rounds? I don't think you do. Do you?
No, it's a battle. Who are you picking, Rich? Adam Duvall or Yasmani Thomas? And where?
I think. Oh, that's a really good question. Timmy, this is going to be so much fun in the coming weeks. This has been a lot of fun. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Timmy, we are a little over time. I need to get going. I got to take the dog out before it gets too late.
Yep.
If you go to Arizona Fall League, tweet us out, send us a Facebook message, and safe travels if you go. If not, we'll see you in 2 weeks otherwise. I mean, regardless, we're going to talk in 2 weeks.
Yeah, safe travels, and let's hope you get to find the time to get at least one good game of cricket in, Rich. Enjoy your trip to India.
Thank you, Timmy. Be well.
Be well.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.